Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So it's a very small text and very small purport. While the child was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Kamsa's, came there as a whirlwind at Kamsa's instigation and very easily carried the child away into the air. Purport. Krishna's heaviness was unbearable for the child's mother. But when Trinavartasura came, he immediately carried the child away. This was another demonstration of Krishna's inconceivable energy. When the Trinavarta demon came, Krishna became lighter than the grass, so that the demon could carry him away. This was Ananda Chinmaya Ras, Krishna's blissful transcendental pleasure. Om Ganatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurun Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tams Jivam Savadvetam Savadutam Parijina Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Cha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jigatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Brindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Thruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevyacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Daityunam Nathanavarta Kamsabhritya Panoditaha Chakravatta Svarupena Jahara Sinam Arbakam. I will give a whirlwind class on a whirlwind visit on a whirlwind topic. It's a short little purport, so there's a short amount of material to discuss. I came on a whirlwind little visit last night. Shall fly off with the Food for Life people when they leave and discuss a little of the whirlwind topic of Krishna and Trinavarta. I shall try not to speak with a whirlwind speed. If I see too many strange squinting eyes looking at me, thinking, what is he saying up there? In Radha Desh, we had a little tradition. There's one lady who would sit in the corner, and every so often she'd go. And I go, okay, Shamna, slow down, slow down. She basically, we had this, as soon as she had a clue what I was saying, she'd go. She was my little barometer, so I had to take the gear down from the Irish speed to a little more civilized English speed. It's a short pastime, the killing of the demon Trinavarta. And it's a short purport. So in the purport, first we'll just deal with that, of a couple of things. We will come to the pastime, but in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes this Sanskrit, Ananda Chinmaya Ras, Krishna's blissful transcendental pleasure. Now, of course, the line is from the Brahma Samhita. What does it mean? What is Ananda Chinmaya Ras? How would you give it? I'd be here like to give a definition for Ananda Chinmaya Ras. Because I found myself struggling to think, what does that mean, and what, how would you use it? Any ideas? Any ideas? Govinda. Hello. I'll use the mic as different. Okay.
The mellow which is full of bliss and knowledge.
The mellow which is full of bliss and knowledge. Okay, you got mellow, ras, and under bliss. They're the two easy bits. It's the chinmaya, yeah. Ananda chinmaya ras. Chit means knowledge, yeah.
Maya means consisting of.
And?
Consisting of.
Maya means consisting of. Okay, that's a different. Okay, Maya, of course, has multi meanings. So, yeah, so bliss, taste, knowledge, and consisting of. Srila Prabhupada can define it in a number of different ways, or use it in many ways. And, of course, we have Satchitananda. That's there. Krishna is made of Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. And ras, we have, everything's ras, everything's about taste. So Ananda Chinmaya Ras, because when the translation we have, the Brahma Samhita, in the verse, summary basically how Krishna and Radha reside in Goloka. They reside in the beautiful realm of Goloka. But like, name Srimati Radharani is not mentioned in Sanskrit. Hmm? Is it there?
It's indirectly there as Nidya Rupata.
Yeah, it's indirectly a few ways. And I think this Ananda Chinmaya Ras, in this very long purport, it's one of those huge, huge, huge purports to it. And it doesn't directly mention how, but a few plays it could be taken from, and that's one. But this other Ananda Chinmaya Ras could also be an indication of Srimati Radharani. Because of the many definitions, The one I try to focus on was the mellow of the transcendental pleasure potency. The mellow of the transcendental pleasure potency. Of course, who was the pleasure potency? It's Landini Shakti, Srimati Radharani. But the mellow of the transcendental pleasure potency, it's used to indicate Krishna when he's that, what he does. How does Krishna go about getting taste, a mellow? He expands. He expands. Everything is an expansion from Krishna. And of course, Krishna's first expansion for pleasure is his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. And from her, everything else therefore expands. So it's how Krishna expands, and therefore in the spiritual world, the variegatedness in the spiritual world, everything that's there is of the same spiritual nature as Krishna. Everything's of the same spiritual nature. There isn't anything different from Krishna, but he's expanded, that it is, has a different separate existence from him. It's important to get both. The point that's often says, it's all of his energy, the Ananda energy, it's all bliss. There is nothing but the bliss. There's only the bliss energy. But it is of a separate existence, so it gives him taste, it gives him ras, and that's what Krishna wants. And then just to how that would connect to us, really, is therefore when we meditate on our activities and our service and our situation, we should understand everything is of that same spiritual nature. Everything is Ananda Chinmaya Ras. There isn't anything separate from Krishna. And specifically more so, there isn't anything in existence that doesn't give Krishna pleasure. If it exists, it exists for one purpose and one purpose only, is to give pleasure to Krishna. There isn't anything else. There can't be anything else, because everything is Anandicham. Everything is an expansion of his blissful energy. So often as devotees, when I tried to give a little one Sunday class recently about how in bhakti, when we're establishing the super excellence of bhakti philosophically and in our own application, we understand we have to weed out what two other things we have to weed out. We have to weed out karma gyan. Govinda, who is the official answer, question answer for karma gyan. You hear in Rupa Goswami's verse, we have to get rid of any sense of fruit of activity, any sense of it's for me, I want some for me, or any sense of gyan where it's by my endeavor or anything that even sniffs of an impersonal idea that the ultimate absolute truth is not a supreme personality. Those two things have to be completely removed. And we're always working to, in our service, to remove the attachments we have that we think it's for our pleasure in some way, either directly or indirectly, and any endeavor, any idea that's by our endeavor that we're making achievement, or any philosophic, any impersonal tendency. But then when we come to bhakti, when we're actually on the platform, we're a devotee, but a devotee fully embraces karma and gyan. Because bhakti embraces everything. Bhakti includes everything. Because what does a devotee do? He works hard for Krishna, which is the essence of karma. It's just minus the bad, minus the attachment element. He's minus that which karma yoga, the negative side of it, the attachment. I want to do this, but I'm attached, so I'll do this, but I'll do it for Krishna. That attached element, that's taken away by a bhakta. And the gyan, that there's knowledge that I'm endeavoring by my intelligence to understand, and therefore the conclusion of always is by our intelligence, we will always end up at some impersonal conclusion. You can't but end up there. So that element is gone, but knowledge is fully there. The devotee is lacking no knowledge of any sort. So we hear this about the topmost residents of Vrindavan. There is nothing they don't know. They just don't care for it very much, which is a problem of knowledge, which we'll come to shortly. When the problems of knowledge is, you care about your knowledge too much, i.e., you're proud of it. You become proud of our knowledge. So karma embraces everything. Bhakti embraces everything. So as devotees, we're kind of struggling with to therefore find what it is that is my ananichin mayaras, that which I'm going to give to Krishna, because it's his. It's completely his. Everything is his. And there's nothing I have to reject. A bhakta rejects nothing. In the preliminary stage, there may be some element of that required, but once we anyway proceed to a more serious level, a devotee sees there's nothing to be rejected because everything is ultimately Krishna's pleasure. The only thing is the tendency I have to try and enjoy it. That has to be weeded out. So everything's for Krishna's pleasure. There's nothing in existence not for Krishna's pleasure. It's either the non-devotees don't know about it and the devotees were trying to know about it. We're trying to get to this point. Philosophically, it's quite easy. Practically, to take that which you love the most because it's his and offer to Krishna. But I find myself, that which you love the most, that which you're most expert at, the reason you're expert at it and the reason you love it, because you're attached to it also. Why? Because we worked for it. We did something in our previous life to work ourselves to the point of having a certain skill set, and therefore it'll also be our hankara is most wrapped around that, which we're best at. But yet that's what you have to give to Krishna because it's your best at it, and it's also Krishna's. It exists for his pleasure. So what you have to give to Krishna. Because it's an anandachinmaya ras. Everything is of the mellow of the transcendental pleasure potency of Krishna. And Prabhupada repeats this expression quite a few times in this whole little section. So why is Trinavarti here? Why is he doing this? Because, again, Krishna wanted it. Krishna arranged it for his pleasure. We hear that these demons, we hear the pastimes for the pleasure of the Lord and for our own purification, but we also hear from the acharyas this element of demons representing anartas. And this is explained and it's been used by our most senior Vaishnavas throughout our society. But it's interesting that if you look up in anywhere in Srila Prabhupada's references, he never once made reference to these things. Someday I have to inquire from somebody, any senior Vaishnava, why Srila Prabhupada himself didn't use this symbolic or secondary element of the pastimes. And one understanding I have is that just hear it. Prabhupada, that's why we have his just hear expression. Anytime Prabhupada got a question about chanting, what would he say? I just hear it. Don't make it too complicated. Don't overcomplicate the issue. Just hear. It's real simple. Bhakti is real simple. And especially for us lot, we need it as simple as possible. But then there are some of us who likes it a bit more complicated, a bit more analytical, a bit more philosophical. So we do use these elements too. Because I have little more else to say on Andachinmaya Ras, we shall discuss this element of Srinivarta and the Narta he represents. Now, it's an interesting one. Does anybody know what an art of Srinivarta represents? Probably you've all heard. Which one does he represent? Any ideas? Because it's not an obvious one. Yeah. What is it going to? False learning. And why does he represent false learning? Why? Yeah. Because we hear, like, it's interesting because, like, Putana, false guru, she came dressed as a mum. A mum is one of the gurus. So she came as a bogus guru, bogus mum. There's a good one. Bogus mum. Yeah, bogus. Okay. Yeah, actually, that's one of the little thoughts I had in it too, actually, and we'll come to that a little more, the kind of my application we can take from it. Because, yeah, it's not so obvious, and like it was the one, like the one just we just heard at the beginning of the chapter, Shakrasura. Shakrasura represents carrying baggage. False stuff. Yes, sir? Okay. Fall down. Okay, very good too. Arrogance. Yeah. Up. And down you come. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, okay. So, and what puffs us up more than knowledge, really? I guess we can have skills, we can all be proud of a certain skill, but knowledge. That's why the most powerful thing is knowledge. You can have people who are like very physically powerful like this, but the guy who's more intelligent is a more powerful person. Actually, we had, quick aside, when I was growing up as a child, we had two dogs, a huge big Alsatian and a little tiny terrier. But who controlled the whole thing? The little tiny terrier, because he was smart. The Alsatian was kind of big dumb animal, big dumb dog. The little terrier controlled everything. So often the case, the small guy whose intelligence, because intelligence is where the power resides. Yeah, so Trinivarta then is given this this Narta that he represents the speculation or the puffed upness that comes from mundane scholarship. But as often I find that little bit, okay, I'm not a scholar of any sort, so I think, well, I don't have a problem with mundane scholarship because I'm not a scholar, so I can't be puffed up or proud about it. I ain't got nothing to be puffed up about. But as devotees, we have this constant understanding that we have access to the topmost knowledge. We have been given the topmost knowledge. We are engaged in the topmost process, and everything I do is topmost, and therefore what? What's the conclusion? I'm the top. I'm the top of the whole system. I'm sitting up there. So we have, as devotees, we have this battle to maintain the understanding and the appreciation that we have been given access to the topmost thing. But yet, we're not the topmost. We certainly not. It's just, that's so not a Vaishnav attitude at all. So Trinivarta could represent this, that just the puffed upness that comes from knowledge. And really, what is knowledge? Knowledge is, as Rinna Supu likes to quote this nice point, how knowledge starts with Bhagavad Gita. It starts with Bhagavad Gita. Outside Bhagavad Gita, it's not knowledge. No matter how analytical they have made their understanding of the world and the structure of things, how things work, It's not knowledge. Especially even their basic observation or their empiric knowledge, but then the theories that they draw upon it, which they present as knowledge, is, as we know, is just a constant transforming speculation of how things are. But it always changes. It's always changing. Therefore, it's not knowledge. And plus, it doesn't really contribute to the soul's quest, the soul's journey of getting out of the material world. It doesn't. So it's not knowledge. Knowledge starts with Bhagavad Gita. Human life starts with the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. He quotes, it's in a pamphlet Prabhupada wrote, it's not very often, but the culture of the intelligence is the Bhagavad Gita. The knowledge, so-called knowledge in the material, in the universities and college, is cultivation of the mind, which has its constant transitory nature, it flows. But real cultivation of the intelligence starts with Bhagavad Gita, and cultivation of the soul proper is Srimad Bhagavatam. The knowledge manifests and lived out in the personalities we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have access to that knowledge, and we are engaged with it. But we run the risk of becoming a little, of assuming, therefore, we are on this topmost knowledge because we have this topmost, we're on the topmost platform because we have the topmost knowledge. How does the devotee stop this from happening? Jai Shishi Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai. What is it a devotee has to do to make sure that the high risk that we run of becoming puffed up doesn't happen? I hope of three things that a devotee has to do to make sure that almost inevitable arrogance that will come from our contact with this knowledge. What's the three? I come up with three things. Any ideas? How do we counter it? But humility is the character. How do we get to that point? Humility obviously is the opposite. What is it we have to do to make sure that we enter that and not? Service, yes, definitely one. You have to hear true Guru and Krishna, yeah? More like in this point. Service is one I had. Yeah, yes. Yes. I'm the servant. I'm not that. I'm the lowest. I'm the servant. I'm your servant, perhaps. I am your servant. What else? Service. When you hear something, what do you have to do with it? You have to apply it. You have to apply it. And if you don't apply it, therefore it just stays on the intellectual platform, and therefore that will make you puffed up. It's when you try to apply something, then you find out, well, one, you find out how serious it is and how it's easy to understand something intellectually. For us, there's no problem to defend, like anything, that the existence of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as you come in contact with Prabhupada, we are instantly first-class scholars of establishing God's existence. Very simply. I mean, it's just absurd to think that God doesn't exist and that God isn't a person. It's just so obvious. But if you don't apply it, if you don't take that knowledge and apply it, therefore it will make you proud. But when you apply it, you find out the work involved in realizing the reality of this existence, and two, then the nature of the heart. I always like this little C.S. Lewis example that when you're walking with the wind, you might feel a little something. Oh, there's a little breeze behind me. So as devotees, we know, I have a few attachments. Little something I have to become purified yet. But when you turn against the wind and you walk against it, then you feel the full power of the wind. So it's not until you really take on the purification of the heart, you feel how much the heart needs purifying. You come face to face with the depth and the intensity of those desires that we have so long cultivated, which are completely opposed to our relationship with Krishna. So we take it on. So when you start to apply it, and therefore then you become a little, some sense of your humility, some sense of, wow, I have a lot of work to do. I really have a lot of work to do. And that's why in the Trinada P verse, in the third verse of Shishastikam, it's understood it comes from the second verse. The verses, Mahapu wrote the verses with clear structure. So it comes from what? Durdaivam idisami hanjan nuraga. Durdaivam. I am so unfortunate that after trying so hard to chant, I've got nowhere. I'm chanting, I'm trying hard to chant, I've got nowhere. Then what does that come from? then what does that create? Trinada peace. So humility is not anything, it's not just a mental label we put on ourselves. It's a reality of endeavoring, like anything, to try and take the process and find out how much work I have to do, how much work I have to do myself. And then naturally we feel a little lowly. So that's my understanding of the endeavor and mercy. You don't get that anywhere by your endeavor, but only by your endeavor do you actually then cry out for the mercy. Otherwise, we think we've got somewhere already. As soon as a devotee thinks we've got somewhere, we're in trouble. A devotee is constantly, increasingly thinking, I have so much to cry out to Krishna. And that's why the real devotees cry constantly, because they have that sense of needing Krishna. But the knowledge might cross the sense that we don't need so much. And that's why we all come to Krishna consciousness with some sense of need, a great sense of need. I need to understand who I am. I need to understand why I'm suffering. And when we get that, then we go, whew, that's a relief. But then we can't slacken off. We need a constant increasing sense of need, this process, to need to take shelter. So service. So the way we don't become puffed up in the Trinavarta thing, we engage in service and we apply it. I had another one too. Service application. I had a third one. But also, just looking at the passage a little more, like who said here. When Trinavarta comes, he comes as a whirlwind demon, and he stirs up all the dust of Vrindavan. Mother Yashoda was holding Krishna, nicely holding Krishna. But suddenly Krishna became very, very heavy. And Mother Yashoda thinks, what's going on? Has some ghost or some demon taking over my baby? I mean, Mother, imagine holding a baby that are like light, small things. Suddenly it becomes increasingly heavy. So she was like, what is this? Something's gone wrong. And we've had a couple of instant strange things already has happened. So maybe another strange thing is happening. So Mother showed in this anxiety, why is my child getting so heavy? She thinks, well, I should stop some ghost getting to him. So I need a Brahmin. I need a Brahmin. So she thinks, well, I have to get some Brahmin. So she puts her child down momentarily to go and get some Brahmins to purify. And as soon as she puts Krishna down, and because Krishna is aware, Trinavarta comes along and picks up Krishna. And explain how Krishna went from really heavy to really light very suddenly. And then Trinavarta had no problem picking Krishna up. And as when Trinavarta swoops in to pick up Krishna, as whirlwinds do, he stirred all the dust. And so I was thinking, yeah, this dust is like, this is what demons do. Demons confuse and blur and make us blind. And that's what Srila Prabhupada often say about mundane knowledge or the mundane education system. It makes us blind to the truth. So much knowledge, but not the truth. But again, on just taking it home for us, it's really that we have the demonic mentality. We just don't see it yet. It's there. Krishna is there in his name, in his form, in the devotees. But yet I'm not quite seeing it. Because the demonic mentality is still stirring around all these attachments that I still think I need. These things I still think will be some sort of pleasure to me. And blinding us to the very truth. And that's why Krishna conscious, from the beginning to the end, we don't do anything differently. Nothing has to change. As soon as you come in contact with Srila Prabhupada's process, you're there. You've got it. This is the spiritual world. There's nothing more that we do there that we're not doing here. But we're not seeing it just yet. To the degree that we're still blinded by our demonic mentality. And that's what a devotee has to accept that. Trinavarta carries Krishna into the air. Trinavarta said he has a siddhi. Mahima siddhi. The Mahima siddhi. And it's described in a few places. Siddhi is kind of like makes himself very big, or very, very heavy, very big. Who else did that too, actually? Who else used the Mahamasiddhi? There's two personalities are famous for using Mahamasiddhi, a good and a bad. Which demon used Mahamasiddhi? Hanuman, yes. Hanuman also used Mahamasiddhi to jump over to Lanka. And then the other demon, he uses Mahamasiddhi? Maybe have no. A demon. He's a good demon. Yeah, catch. But in Krishna's Leela, we have another one in Krishna's Leela. Who else? Agasura. This how long? Was it 12 miles? 12, 15? I'll forget numbers. Anyway, big snake. So Mahamasiddhi. But I said Krishna also then. So then Trinavarta takes Krishna to the air. Krishna says, light. Then when Krishna gets in the air, Krishna goes, okay, this is nice. This is your Mahamasiddhi. You want to see my Mahamasiddhi? You think you've got Mahamasiddhi? Well, I'll show you what it really means, Mahamasiddhi. And then Krishna starts to become heavy. It's silly to compete with Krishna. I'm thinking. It's really, really absurd to compete with Krishna. But again, this is what this world is about. Every one of us, to the degree that we're still residing in the material world, we're still thinking, I can compete with Krishna. On some level, I can still take him on. Okay, he's pretty impressive. They're pretty good there, but I can take him on too. Trinavarta is taking on Krishna with his Mahamasiddhi. But it's the absurdity of trying to compete in any way or compare in any way with Krishna. Leads to what? Leads to utter destruction. And either in Trinavarta's case, literal destruction, or in our case, we kind of say destruction of our... As we slowly realize that I can compete with Krishna in any way, the destruction and death of our ego, false ego, that we have some existence separate from his pleasure, that has to be destroyed, that has to be crushed. And specifically, how does Krishna kill Trinavarta then? Then Krishna becomes really heavy. He's manifesting his Mahamasiddhi. Trinavarta goes, okay, something's happening here. He's not light anymore. Something's gone wrong. Trinavarta tries to get rid of him, shake him off. But can he shake Krishna off? No. Krishna's got a tight hold on Trinavarta. He's not going anywhere. Which, now stretching my point, maybe stretching it probably a little too much, well, Krishna, he doesn't let go. Even we want to let go, he's not letting go. Now, in the case of Trinavarta, I was thinking, well, I'll stretch it maybe a little much, but how, in the sense that Krishna never lets go of us, in a good sense, that even though we've come here determined to compete with Krishna, determined to find some sense that I can exist separate from him, he doesn't leave us. He never lets go of us. We have consciously and actively and determinedly tried to deny our relationship with him, but he hasn't let go of us. He'll never hold on. He never let go. He always holds on. Because for him, Krishna, he always feels, he's always seeing the love that's existing. We don't. We lose it. And gradually we have to admit and come to the awakening in this relationship with Krishna. Usually in any relationship, there's two sides, right? Any husband, wife, friend and friend, colleague. Okay. This is where I messed up. Okay, this is where I messed up too. Right? Usually it's a bit of a mutual acknowledgement that we both have a side to play in any breakdown relationship. But not with Krishna. Not with Krishna. He's never let go of his love to us, but we have let go of our, at least superficially, let go of our love to him. So in that sense, Krishna never lets go of us. But also in the sense that here, more specifically, I think, in the a bad quality that Trinavarta represents, this pride that comes from thinking we're learned, Krishna wants it out. He'll want it out of the heart. And he's not going to let go of these anartas till they're gone. Because Krishna says, Shringvatam Svakatakrishna, Punya Shravana Kirtan, Hriddanstoi Badrani. He's sitting in the heart. And he's there waiting for us. And he's got to deal with all this garbage. Krishna's sitting on a big smelly garbage pit of our heart. We don't want, when we think worship the deity, everything's got to be beautiful and nice and clean and especially smell beautiful, look beautiful. But therefore our heart, when we see what's in our heart, is it as beautiful as the altar? No, there's so much desire still for recognition, so much desires for sense gratification of gross forms and subtle forms. And Krishna's in there having to sit in the heart where all this stuff is. So he wants it out. So Krishna, we know, we see that as devotees practicing, these things come up. And this is Krishna personally cleansing the heart. Okay, let it go. And actually, as Radha Maharaj in his nice class on Sunday, right, he gave this, his Ravana thing, right, when you, as soon as one Ram took off on the head of Ravana, boop, boop, again popped up the same head again. So he used that to explain how, as soon as you think you've dealt with a bad quality, oh no, here it is again, hi. You thought you're humble. Yeah, I've achieved a certain. I'm feeling humble today. Like I don't feel like a desire for so much prestige. And here, and then up it comes again, the pride. So the heads keep popping up and popping up. So this is Krishna pushing it out. We have to, hopefully, I think Maharaj didn't explain, but the heads pop up slower, pop up smaller, or one day they don't pop up at all. Hopefully, that's what we're aiming towards, where these bad qualities stop popping up. Because Krishna wants them out. So he's squeezing these things out of our heart. So Krishna squeezed. Even though Trinivarta wanted to let him go, Krishna wouldn't let him go until he held him by the neck until what? His eyes bulged out and he squeezed the life out of Krishna, out of Hare Krishna, out of Trinivarta. And then Trinivarta comes down to the ground, to a slab of stone, he says, with an almighty drop, an almighty whack. And therefore Krishna killed the Trinivarta demon. And now, having heard Krishna killing the Trinivarta demon, we're all free from the tendency to be proud by our knowledge. That's it. We've heard it now. The anartha is gone, right? The anartha is completely free. I'm free. I've got no tendency anymore. None of us have. Unfortunately, it's not so simple. That's why we repeatedly have to hear these pastimes. And as a meditation on a festival day, we always think, okay, Lord Nishinir, pastimes, Lord Ram's pastimes. We think, oh, the class speaker will probably tell the pastime. I've heard it before. But I think the best meditation, or as sometimes before a festival class, I said, who's here to hear the pastime of Govardhan Puja? And also, yeah, we've heard it. Yeah, we've heard it. But if you think you've heard it, you've never heard it once. If you think you've heard it, you've never even heard it once. Because if you've actually heard the pastime, to hear Krishna's pastimes means to enter it, to live it, to feel it. And Krishna's pastimes are never the same twice. Nothing about Krishna is the same twice, nothing. Even the Hare Krishna mantra, every time you say Krishna, it's different the next time you say it. It's Nandichin Maya Ras. The variegatedness is infinite. There is no repetition in Krishna at all. So when you hear a pastime, you think you've heard it, you've never heard it once. So for us who think we've heard it, we always think, I've never heard this. Even just as a meditation, as a way to approach, to get the benefit, I've never heard this. Let me hear it. And therefore that makes Krishna kind of feel, oh, okay, this person would like to engage with the pastime. So that's how we can benefit from these pastimes repeatedly and have this purification go on by always thinking, oh, I've never really heard this. Let me sit down and read Krishna book. Let me sit down and hear Krishna killing Trinivarta. And if Krishna's kind, he'll make me a little more humble. Okay, I shall stop there.